So, guys, I got my Buggle Driver's Y, and check out what I can do! Well, now, since everyone's paused, I can say, like, whatever the hell I want. Ichi sucks. Emily is a fantastic human being, as always. Gar can take Ultraman and shove it up his ass. And whatever. Anyways, let me restart.
I feel like someone said something wrong.
You know that's just a toy and you didn't actually stop time, right?
What? Cue the roll call?
Why am I crying?
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect. Loading.
Broadcast.
Equipment Wielder, Blue Caster, Cheetah Zazeel,
Loyal and Lack, Pink Caster, Lightred!
Explorer from the Unknown, Yellow Caster, Auto Gar.
One Little Spark of Courage, Dream Caster, Globusoft Perka!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Welcome to another episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
This is episode Bayleaf. Yep, we're still doing the Pokemon
joke.
Oh,
I forgot about that.
Is that going to be a trend now?
No. Welcome to episode Miltank, everybody. I love Miltank.
Welcome to episode Marshadow. Have we really been doing it for 802 episodes?
Jesus Christ.
Oh my gosh.
If we do get to 800 episodes... And we still have 200 subscribers.
Gen 9 has...
I'll be angry.
Gen 9 has just been announced.
Gen 9? Well, it'll be fucking Gen 13 by then.
Jesus.
Gen fucking 50.
We've been doing the show for 3 years, and we're only at 150-something. If we get to episode 800, we'll be at fucking Gen 20.
But yeah, so we...
Mega Super Evolution.
So we just had, had Anime North 2017... passed by. It was a very, very fun, successful weekend.
I met Derek Steven Prince, and he was like, oh, you want me to personalize your autograph? Sure. What's your name? Gar. Can I do an Elgar quote? It would be an honor.
That's sweet.
What quote did he do?
Don't kill me. I'm your favorite nephew.
RJD!
Did he say it, too?
Well, no.
You should have asked him to say
it.
He
was doing the Elgar voice, though, like, showing that people. Next!
You should have gotten him to do, like, a Cast Ranger promo.
Oh, I should have.
Lane and I, we sold a bunch of stuff at the Nomi Noichi, which,
fucking God.
For people who don't know, is basically Anime North's fan-run dealer room.
Shockingly enough, I met fans.
We met Cast Ranger fans!
Like, the best
and
part was...
And we made some new ones.
Yeah, the best part was there was these two girls who were, like, looking at, like, our Toku stuff we have for sale, and then we, H.E., like, mentioned Cast Ranger, and they were like, that's you guys? And we're like...
That's so cool!
So shout out if those people are listening.
Thank you!
And to any new listeners that I, / everyone else, spoke to and told about the podcast at Anime North, welcome to the crowd!
Yeah, people recognize, like,
I forgot. Welcome to the cast.
Yeah, like, Gar was at the Kamen Rider panel, apparently people recognized his voice, so
yeah,
that was
at
cool.
The end of the Super Sentai panel, I was getting up to leave. One of our fans, I'm sorry, I couldn't remember your name, you walked up behind me, walked over to me, he's like, hey, awesome job for Cast Ranger, or something like that.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Man.
I was very exhausted that weekend. These guys saw me on Sunday, I was just... done.
Yeah. I wish I could have been at any of those panels, but
yeah,
we were running game shows.
I didn't go to any of them either because I was with Nick.
We talked about Frosting. The Q Ranger dance.
Raven and I and Lane and our buddy Mike, we were running a couple of game shows. That's how we attend Anime North under the game show staff. So we ran a couple of rounds of Anime WTF and Anime Flash. And if you're curious what those are, keep an eye on the Ixie Studios channel.
Yeah, and the Nomi was a success for me. I made well over what I was expecting, sold a lot of my shit, and I was able to afford everything I wanted to get over the weekend, so... I got a fidget spinner!
I made exactly what I was expecting,
I
which was to recover... Which
well,
was to recover the money that I spent buying my new toy, the GPD Win, which is literally a Windows 10 computer the size of a 3DS.
Yeah, we were driving with Northcaster, who's playing Double Dash, so...
Yep.
Anyways,
which is really weird, because I was playing Double Dash... in the passenger seat of a car as it was actually driving, and I'm because I'm almost never the passenger in vehicles anymore, I'm always driving. It was really weird because I'm like playing a video game in a car, and then like my instincts kick in, and I'm just like, why am I looking at the road?
Anyways, can we talk about Kamen Rider and Super Sentai since we're doing a double build this week and no feature topic?
Oh, yeah.
So this week we're talking about X-Aid 32 and 33 and Q-Ranger 15 and 16.
Oh, man. So much happened.
So much heavy shit.
God.
You know what? First thing I have to say is I think both shows lined up perfectly to talk about in double episode form.
Yeah.
32 and 33 debuted Cronus, and 15 and 16 were all about... You know, Scorpio.
Like, it started off happy and cheery, but then it led into it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just immediately cut. So, X-Aid. Alright, so since Raven's not here...
He wanted to be here, but
he has to go pack. But,
I really prefer you don't eat during the episode, because we don't want people getting annoyed by the sounds of food.
Let me see this quickly. I will do this once because I'm the annoying one and everyone hates me, so...
Screw it, I'm going to have one just because we're doing the bit.
Oh my god, it's so cheesy, I love it.
Alright, but since Raymond's not here, I found a clip that perfectly describes everyone's, like, thoughts on Cronus.
Yep. It's true.
For those that didn't know, that was Vegeta from the Legend from the Broly movie.
Abridged,
yes.
And yes, that is perfectly accurate. Kamen Rider Cronus is a fucking badass!
Yeah, like everything he does is just so fucking cool.
He's not dumb and cool, but just he's so goddamn cool.
So let's just get it out of the way. As predicted by most people at this point, it turned out that Cronus was, in fact, Dan Masamune, released from prison, now that pretty much everyone knows that it
all
was
the charges
Rota's
were
fault.
Cleared.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, the final battle, which shouldn't be happening for another 20 episodes, commences.
Yeah.
In which we...
How many times in the last 10 episodes have quote-unquote final battles happened?
All right, nerd, this is the final battle.
You know what I think...
For the very last time.
You know what I think that's a nod at?
What?
The fact that a lot of final bosses in video games have multiple phases.
Oh, JK, this is only like my second out of the seventh form.
Pretty much. What I noted really, what was really interesting is in 32... At the end of the opening, they changed the rival that X-Aid's facing to a silhouetted Cronus, and then in 33, they unsilhouetted him. This is the most updated a Rider opening has been in a long time.
Well, I like to say since Forze, because Forze, like, every time he got a new form or something, it would just keep updating and updating and updating.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, it's... Dan, who is level zero dangerous zombie?
Well,
level X
zero. The name of his new form is Kamen Rider Genmu, zombie action gamer level X zero.
Alright, so...
That's like some Mega Man ZX bullshit.
It's like dangerous zombie but with a gamer driver and a Gashikon breaker.
And an actual health bar.
And a health bar.
Yep.
You get Taiga, who is level 50. Hiro, who is level 50, because if you remember from last week's episode... Dan gave Taiga a
second Gashit Gear Duel Beta.
Yeah. That way they can both go level 50 at the same time. And, of course, you have Emu, who is at level 99.
So let's first talk about how hilarious it is that Dan and Poppy are roommates now inside the Doremifa Beat cabinet.
She really doesn't
like they
like
divided
it
up, yeah. And he has his stuff on his side. And, her
and if
stuff.
You notice, the numbers that he's got hanging up
it's
are
Kuroto,
just like in the Go Rider special.
What's with Japan and making puns about like their names?
They do that
numbers?
All the time in Kero, like all the time.
Oh, I know.
Do you remember Kyoru Blue? Fucking everything he said was a pun.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Hell, in Superhero Taisen Zed, he made a pun. You see Daigo just...
Yeah.
Fuck.
No, and then Blue Buster fucking laughed at it. He's like, haha, I get that. It's funny because I'm old.
So, we finally found out where Dr. Kagami has been all this time. He's been playing Kamen Rider Chronicle.
Yeah.
Like, and doing a piss poor job.
No, and what's super funny is, like, I'm like, who the fuck is this pussy-ass bitch who's, like, playing Chronicle right now, and because I didn't recognize his voice to like save my life, and then just
I think they were banking on the fact that no one recognized his voice.
And then like Hiro and them show up, and he's just like,
He, like, hides behind his tie, and I'm like, so I can't guess, see you,
I
you
guess
can't
he's
see
got
me.
Kronos, then.
Yeah.
Thank fuck!
That debunks
Jesus!
That.
Don't.
Kind of
no,
was,
wait.
Though.
At the end of the show, when they defeat Masamune, he'll take it.
Oh!
And he, no, that was his version of Kamen Rider June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be the one to, like, level up as a ride player and eventually attain the power of Kronos.
Oh! Quickly about Masamune. Got rid of that fucking stupid mullet. And he actually, like, probably, like, got his hair back to, like,
well, yeah, like
a better haircut, so thank God.
Well, I guess there's no barbers in prison.
Actually, there is.
There are. Prison barbers.
Okay.
That's a thing.
Well, then.
Yeah.
Legally or illegally?
No.
First one, then the other. I don't know.
Prison barbers, yeah.
So, everyone meets up to fight again, including the debut of Graphite level 99.
Yeah, which is
I miss
red.
His old color scheme.
He's red as fuck. That means he's angry.
That means he's Super Saiyan 4.
No! But it's great was, like, we got to see Hero's, like, first reaction or whatever like that, and he's just like, Graphite Toys!
Yeah,
because
he
did. Graphite's like, stop!
Because he didn't know Graphite was still alive.
Yeah, because Taiga's a little asshole. And
wait a minute.
Tell him. Taiga's a little asshole!
No, because Taiga's still shocked about that scene. Like, he just turns his head, there's this Graphite, he's like,
what's funny is, Taiga's not even going to give Hero the satisfaction of killing Graphite. Taiga thinks that killing Graphite is his responsibility,
yeah,
so he's
like,
going to do it.
Like, Hero has a bigger score to settle with Graphite because it's Graphite's fault that Saki died. But no, Taiga's like, I lost to you, I need to make up for that. And Brave is perfectly content to go and fight Lovrika's fucking maid turkey heads. That's bullshit. I really didn't like
well,
that.
Well, maybe it's because Taiga failed to save Saki because he couldn't beat Graphite, so he thinks it's his duty to, set it right.
Which is perfectly fine. I'm willing to accept that, but the fact that Brave just leapt right for the maids instead of Graphite is really a poor writing choice.
It's a 3-on-3 battle. We had, like, you can't have two riders against one character.
They had the wrong people fighting the wrong characters on that.
Like, Braves is the only one I had a problem with. Everyone else is fine. Emu fighting, or Exeed fighting Paradox, fine. Snipe fighting Graphite, sure, I'll take it. But Brave just like, yeah, I'll go fight the maids, can't be attacked.
And then
Brave fighting Graphite and Snipe fighting the maids?
I would have preferred that.
And then like, Nico's talking to Asuna, and then, like, does, like, an impression of Taiga where she has, like, strip, the hair streak, and then, like, the sweater he wears, and just does, like, an impression of him going, like, oh, it's too late, you have to do the final blow, and then goes back to it, and I was like,
No, she did the Taiga impersonation to point out the fact that Taiga told her that the enemies they're fighting are all too high level for her, which is correct.
And then I did notice until the second time I watched the episode that, like, Asuna brought Dan with her in the Buggle Driver.
But she
so,
just
like,
keeps him in there.
Yeah, so you just hear him going like, ah, yeah, let me out.
No, we're going to save you for later. When the actual final battle begins.
But yeah, we find out also that, I'm going to say this
Ganmudes.
Lovrika. Like, he can't be hit as long as his, like, turkey head maids are still around.
Yeah, I think that was kind of bullshit how the source of his immunity to violence came from his mooks and not as an innate part of his own character design.
Well, because his girls are willing to defend who they love the
but
most,
they're not
so.
Defending him.
No,
they just exist and he can't be hit until they're defeated.
Thank you, Millie.
We fight too.
No, but my point is they're not defending him. They just exist and he gets gets immunity to all damage.
Mm-hmm. So then we cut to, like, Masamune or whatever like that, going back to the Genmu Corporation, back in his office, he's sitting down, he's like, yeah, this is my company, and, like, employees are happy to see him, and then...
The funniest shit ever!
Yeah,
scared me!
Me and Ichiro watches this
Ren
together.
Ren comes in all big head mode, HA! I died! I had to watch it, like, three more times!
I screamed!
You watched it, like, 3 times.
I was like, I was afraid.
I fucking love him so much. I'm so sad he's dead.
I was so afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly, I liked Lovrika a lot.
Oh my god, he was the best.
I mean, if we didn't know that he was a bugster from, like, a certain game, then I would have hated him for being how fucking over-the-top and stupid he is, but it was in his character, so I liked him, too.
I love him anyway.
But you love Dan, and he's really over-the-top.
Yes, that's true.
But now he's a bugster.
That's because his molecules got all rearranged.
God damn it.
No.
Gonna save humanity because he's run again, Moo.
Danny
that makes way too much sense.
Going Bugster.
Yo, Danny Kuroto, he's just 25.
No, he was Bugster, he's 30.
Oh, is he?
Dan's
okay.
30.
Anyways. Oh my god.
I can add that to the album. Here's
Danny Phantom, he was just one.
Someone
typoed it, and then they were just like, I must go.
And here's where Ichi and I were having an argument about this afternoon, where, like, Masamune pulls open a drawer, and there's the Bugle Driver's Y with, like,
the Master Kamurata
with the
Chronicle
Master Chronicle Gasha, which we learn in the next episode. But yeah, Ichi and I are having an argument about it, because he's like, why the fuck has it been there the whole time? Like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, because it was being saved for something else.
No, you know what this is? This is a Yomotsu Hegiri thing.
Sure.
Where they literally pulled the ultimate phenomenal cosmic power! Pulled it out of a drawer and took it.
It's not that you
well, cosmic power
wasn't,
always comes with an anybody living
you
space.
Yomotsu Hegiri
so
wasn't the most powerful lock seed ever.
It was
a powerful lock seed that
it
had
was
a
power. It was being touted as a super powerful lock seed
at the cost of death.
By eggs.
But yeah, I didn't mind that it was in the drawer. It was just being kept there for a reason, and now there's
but
a reason.
The implication is that they were holding on to the power of Cronus to probably at some point give to whichever ride player reached Gemdeus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, Gemdeus.
The ultimate bugster.
You know Orphanot King? Yeah, it's just Orphanot King.
Except immortal, apparently.
He has no purpose to the story whatsoever.
Except to be the final boss.
Yeah.
Except to be the final
boss.
But
I mean, this is based on video games, so isn't that
bullshit?
What happens in a lot of games where it's just like, here's a whole plot, but then here's a giant monster you have to fight at the end.
Yeah, you know what it is?
It's
Sonic Adventure 2!
It's Necron from Final Fantasy IX.
I was thinking more of Ganon from the Game Boy games, Link's Awakening or something.
Okay.
Then there's also a Bio Lizard.
That's true.
I
remember thinking when I first played the game, what is this happening?
It was also funny seeing, like, while, like, Ren's talking to Masamune, he's, like, putting his, like, shit back up.
I know it's a prototype for Shadow now, but I didn't at the time. I'm sorry. I knew that Bio Lizard was a prototype. I know what Bio Lizard's a prototype for Shadow, despite them looking nothing alike now, but
lizard.
I didn't at the time.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah. Here's our prototype. It's a giant lizard cyborg with tubes sticking out of it.
Wait, the Bio Lizard was a prototype for Shadow the Hedgehog?
Wait,
the
you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Okay, he was their failed attempt at creating the ultimate life form. Then their
that's one
attempt,
ugly giant ditto.
Yes, and their attempt that worked was the one that's a hedgehog.
Okay.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, that's fine.
I didn't know that. What is Mephiles? He's like Satan, isn't he?
He's Satan on
Satan Sonic the Hedgehog. Anyways.
I got that confused with a dark Gaia. Mephiles is sort of like
a flame devil.
He's like the part of that they took that made Shadow the one that was.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Why are we talking about Sonic 06?
I'm like,
sorry.
Enough of this.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Yeah, it was funny seeing Masamune, or like, well, Ren was talking to Masamune. He was like putting his shit back on,
putting his photos
his
back around.
He's like, no,
this is my
office.
Oh, you're gonna have fun later.
I just like how, like, when CR is looking at the remaining bosses, they're like, why are there four? Oh, Pallad uses two games, so he counts as two bosses. That's fucking bullshit!
Bullshit!
So then, they, like, all decide, okay, we all need to fucking work together if we're gonna, like, defeat and, like, the final boss and, like, beat the other Bugsters and stuff like that. So they all, like, get ready, and it's, like, kind of cool, like,
it's a final we get to the actual fight, so Dan tells them about Gemdeus, the ultimate Bugster, who's, like, immortal and designed to not be beaten other than through the power of Cronus.
Dan designed him that way.
And I just love how Poppy's just like, why the fuck are your games so hard?
Because I'm evil.
Yeah,
I'm Mrs. Nesbitt. I was thinking
No.
You see the driver?
I'm making too many Toy Story jokes.
It's okay.
I think we haven't made enough.
I think we're half. We're just going crazy because we just spent like 5 minutes talking about Sonic the Hedgehog because of me.
Speaking
and I'm sorry.
About Shadow the Hedgehog.
Oh wait, well, I mean the Sonic universe.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, Xade repro. So yeah, they all show up to do their big final fight, Phase 5. Who the fuck knows is keeping count at this point?
Wait, before that, we get like this cool, like, awesome scene of like everyone like kind of preparing for the battle, whatever, like that, and like. You know, Taiga and Nico have their moment, and, like, Nico, like, throws Taiga his doctor's coat or whatever like that, and he, like, puts it on really cool.
I love how that's, like, the equivalent of, like, a baseball star throwing a kid a towel. That's what it felt like.
Can I have a sip of your... you want to sip my coke? Mean Joe? and then, like, we get, like, Dan just, like, thinking to himself, just being like, Pilate, I will destroy you, and I'm just like, oh, my God, it's so cool. But yeah, then we get like the start of the fight where they're just like all the Bugsters are there, the Riders are there, and they all just like prepare and they like transform, and it's fucking awesome.
Just like transform, like everyone transforms at once, and just sound effects flying everywhere.
And it's better than Ghost because Ghost, all three of them, their sounds did not fucking meld.
I mean, I don't think these ones mix up too well either.
Nah.
But So yeah, Xade reprograms / deletes the Lovely Girls, which negates Lovrica's immunity to damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lovrica promptly gets fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it gets worse.
So as they're about to jump on Lovrica and wipe him out, Nico and Poppy are about to henshin and join the battle because I guess they were waiting and hiding.
But then...
a cold wind blows.
Oh shit, guys. Yeah? Did it just turn nighttime?
Here's my thought on that. Masamune is using the master version of the Kamen Rider Chronicle Gashit. Because when he shows up, it goes to nighttime in this episode.
So does that...
And in episode 33, when he activates the Gashit, night turns into day. I think the game area for the master Kamen Rider Chronicle Gashit is to flip the time of day.
So does that mean
okay, that
when
makes
it
sense.
Turned nighttime, you know... life was reverted back to normal? Because remember at the finale of Ghost, the god thing made everything
Isaac?
Daytime? Yeah.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Talk about that!
So that would be interesting.
So Masamune shows up, sorry, and like sorry, creepily God. Shuffles in between Nico and Poppy, and I thought that was a really nice shot.
Yeah, I'm just watching this whole, like, the whole nice time, touch. And I'm just like, holy shit, this man is amazing.
And, like, he's just going on, he's like, I am the head of the corporation.
Oh.
You are all just products.
Yeah.
Even you.
And he does.
Dangerous zombie.
And
yeah.
He calls everyone by the names of the games they used to transform or that they're
yeah.
from.
Yeah, because he sees everyone as products for his in his company. And like,
which is both evil and kind of awesome.
Yeah.
No, he's,
like,
no, he's the guy that's going to walk in, be like, well, well, well.
I'm
look what the rat track.
I'm fully expecting him to just pull a thing where they walk into his office and he wheels around in his chair.
Hello.
Well, quiet. Well, well, well. If it isn't the big time Rider Man.
No.
Oh
wait.
My God, I do not have time for you right now.
No, I got it. Tim Curry's, you know, Dr. Robotnik. Well, well.
Tim Curry voiced Dr. Robotnik?
In Sonic Set AM, he voiced Dr. Robotnik,
what?
Which
was Tim
dark
Curry?
And menacing.
The Blasted Hedgehog!
I have
was
to
Tim
look that
Curry,
up.
Tim Curry, though?
I
didn't
don't
know that.
Yes.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Oh, it's fucking beautiful. But, and then, you know, Masamune transforms into Cronus.
Oh my God.
So,
like the fucking
oh,
hell, man.
The fucking game, like the hologram display that like they all go through, it appears above him and just crashes down on him, and it's fucking badass.
And he and he pulls a fucking like just throws the gashit or no before he activates it, he like holds it like the hand on a clock, and he like tilts it up and
yeah.
then he presses it, and then like it like just
he psychokinetically commands it into the driver.
Hey, Decker Rangers.
Yeah.
It's judgment time.
Yeah, that was, kind of weird where he just sort of went...
yeah, the gashad.
And
he still has to push it in.
And I have to say, like, when the Chronicle Gashit goes inside the driver, just, even though it's got an evil voice, the way it just goes,
Gashato.
It's, like, Gashato. Weirdly cute.
Just, Gashato.
Gashato.
Kawaii. Gashato. But it's just everyone's...
And
everyone's ready to charge at him, and then he pulls the dickest move ever.
But, like, sorry, just before
okay,
we go on to what he does.
I something else there, and I'm glad you
it's,
didn't.
Like, also
his dick.
It's still really weird that, like, the standby chime for him to henshin is the same chime used by Conrad or Poppy.
That's just the chime for the driver in general.
I know, but, like, it feels like it was designed for Poppy, so to hear Cronus use the same standby chime, it's kind of ruins the tone a little.
But yeah, and then we get, basically, he has the power to pause.
Yup.
So in which, Hyper Kabuto, go fuck yourself.
Here's the thing. I feel like if he activated Hyper Clock Up before Cronus activated Pause, he'd be able to outspeed him.
Mm-hmm.
But Pause is literally stopping time.
But he is. But Hyper Kabuto can reverse time.
Oh.
And what's great is like
Toei, who can go faster?
He like walks up and he's like talking to them about like them as products or whatever like that. Hits Pilat and then he gets like sent forward a bit in time, but then like pauses because of the impact.
Oh, that was... I love every single shot of pause we've gotten.
And it's just, he would go slow and then, like, fast, like, speed up.
It's like he took the damn... It's like he was in the middle of taking the impact, but then the time stop, like, remembered that it was a thing.
But I just remember, like, the one thing that I love is, like, his pose. Is, like, he's standing up with his hands behind his back. He's like...
Yep.
Eyeing them. Like, hello there, everyone.
Everything about this man is just fucking incredible.
And which... The Tokimeki Crisis...
Leverka.
Yeah, Leverka dies.
Yeah.
And then Graphite's like, yeah, well, we'll just bring him back. Why isn't it working? He's a fully leveled, you know...
This was a pretty neat explanation, honestly.
Oh, you see, he's stuck in pause. He's still dying.
So
every second.
So
he's
apparently,
stuck in the moment of death, so he can't be brought
back. So apparently this was the way that... Cronus' power was meant to be used to defeat Gemdeus. Because Bugsters are immortal, Gemdeus especially, a player who leveled up enough to achieve the power of Cronus was meant to use Pause to defeat Gemdeus during Pause, which would stop him from respawning.
So in which...
Which promptly happens to Leverka.
Now I'm just thinking, this is what Leverka's probably thinking, like saying right now.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
it is a terrible thing.
I don't know what you...
Basically, it's Squidward screaming forever in like an ultimate void.
Oh
okay.
My god, I remember that, but I...
And which... No, shut it.
But the attack that he used on him was so amazing. He used his own version of Critical Crusade, and pretty much he told Kabuto to go fuck himself.
Oh yeah, because he does the Kabuto kick.
Except it's a full 360 degree representing the hand of the clock.
And then before Leverka dies, he just goes, Tokimeki Crisis is now out of stock.
And
I'm
just
like,
Which is really funny because when Lane went to Anime North on Saturday, Tokimeki Crisis was out of stock.
Yeah,
Dave sold
my first one.
I just realized something, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Go ahead.
Kamen Rider Kronos is just straight up the guy.
He is the guy.
I don't know.
From Spike Kids 3.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
He's the super
the
tough
real
level,
guy.
Level guy. He's on the box.
Wait, that's perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
All he has to say is
also,
oops when we hit him.
It's Cronus, not Kronos. It's actually named after a god.
Oh, okay,
Cronus.
So it's not Kronos as in
time-related.
Right. It's Cronus as in
the
god of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the villain from Clash of the Titans.
By
I watched like 2 episodes of that show.
It's surprisingly good.
I've heard...
Wait a minute, the cartoon Clash of Titans?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I haven't watched like a bit of that. In which, then we cut into episode 33, where Heroes... Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, we're not done here.
Oh, we're not?
So, Masamune confirms that Emu was not the first man to be infected by Bugster.
It was ideal!
He did it to himself 16 years ago so his body could develop the antidote required to wield the power of Cronus.
Oh, yeah, because they're like, but you're human. Oh, I injected myself, you fools.
Yeah, because apparently one of the requirements of using Conrad of Cronus would be to have the ultimate antibody created from every genre of Bugster.
Yeah, just...
Wow.
Oh, he's so cool.
He is. No, and it's amazing that, like, Dan thought he had him on a leash, but this whole time Masamune had him on a leash, and everyone else on a leash.
I let you do what you wanted for 5 years so I could come in and take my company back. Was pretty much the thought.
You were just a pet, a puppet, if mind you.
Isn't that cruel, dangerous zombie?
Yeah, and just like... We have another Bono, which is great. He just does not give a shit about his son.
No.
Bono?
Gold Drive.
You mean Gord Drive?
No.
Anyways, the really funny bit about when Loverka died was just like, after time like restarts, you just hear a really quick, game cleared!
Yeah,
then Dr. Kagami's like, I'm healed!
Oh yeah. Dr. Kagami was infected with the Tokimeki Crisis.
Yeah.
Bugs or something, which they had to defeat him no matter what.
Yeah.
He almost disappeared too because he was like stressing out too
Don't much. Tell him I was playing an illegal game!
We won't!
Okay.
Oh, thank God.
So yeah, Pallad is now actually fearing for his life since Bugsters can die.
Yeah, and we see him like trembling and shit, and I'm
and
like, wow.
In the next episode, we actually see Masayune erase Salty, period.
So yeah, let's get into the next episode.
Like, he is gone.
Yup.
He was in that episode just to make salt puns and then be used to prove a fucking point.
He even said he was salty.
Also, is it me or is Dan Masayune hijack someone's office?
Yeah, the scene where he's playing his piano, it becomes very clear that this is the same set used for Kogami's office from O's.
Oh.
No more happy birthdays for you, motherfucker. Coming right.
So that was that the guy that you sent the picture of on my birthday with the happy birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, can we just have Kamen Rider Birth versus Cronus?
No, that wouldn't. Maybe
that
would die.
But like you just see Date just like keep firing at him, and just Cronus is bing bing bing.
Keep firing, asshole.
But no, Masamune also stole the case of Proto Gashets because he knew that they knew. That they would want to get them because they hold the data of people who have disappeared.
Yeah.
So.
In which he legit uses his power of pause to hijack Hiro. He kidnaps him.
I just really wanted to see the shot of Cronus just grabbing Brave out of time stop and just hugging him over his shoulders and just walking off with him.
No, just, where's Emu? Just Emu's just up in a tree.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just like.
Snipes just in a sewer.
It's like, you know, how do we...
Nico's suddenly upside down again.
Just, you know, I really hate this guy. Yeah.
I would absolutely love it if Masamune just started using his time stop ability to prank everyone.
He unscrews the juice in the fridge and then someone takes it out. Oh,
it's just time in a bottle all over again.
Just like, Salty is like, I know this probably would never happen, but Salty's trying to eat food and he just like, pours salt and then it opens up.
Now you're
too
really,
much salt.
Now you really are salt.
Now, if there's
okay,
one,
that's terrible. I'm sorry.
One flaw about Masamune that I can point out, he has a terrible smile.
Oh my God,
it's
no,
so creepy,
that
so weird.
Works.
It's so creepy.
Just
so weird.
Sorry, gotta play it again.
Oh my God, he's so goddamn cool.
But like, his logic is so. Fucked, because, like, he's all about, like, yes, I want this game that, like, at face value, basically kills people, and I want to take it worldwide for the success of the company. Oh, but I don't want our player base to dwindle, so I'll delete one Bugster. That'll keep everyone alive.
Okay.
I don't think you thought that through!
Like, deleted the weakest one.
It doesn't matter! If anything, that just means the other ones that are stronger will get more chances to kill people.
You are the weakest link.
Because if they
Goodbye.
Don't... Because think about it. If you get into an MMO and there are no low-level enemies to fight, all you've got is the high-level ones, and you're fucked.
It was also really funny seeing Hiro's dad, like, just totally...
Out of the loop.
He's just like, what the fuck's going on?
Why is Dan here? Why is Masamune here?
Why am I still in a tree? Emma, are you gonna get out of the tree? Actually, no, this is really comforting.
I've reprogrammed the tree. I have a bed up here.
So they realize they're like really frustrated with Cronus' pause ability, and they like don't know how to counter. But then Dan and Emu just continue to be mighty stepbrothers, and they like Dan's just like Emu's like, wait, I got an idea. And Dan's like, you think what I'm thinking? Yeah, I got it. And they're just looking at each other like, oh yeah, we'll do the thing. Yeah, that's it.
And Poppy just comes in like, I'm stupid.
No, and she's also like,
well,
they're really both game geniuses. That's awesome. You're working together.
No, she's like, I don't understand what you game geniuses are talking about.
Yeah, because Dan turns around and he's like, No wonder you're the game genius. Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
You want to go do karate in the garage? Maybe after we beat my dad. Hey, Dan.
We pranked my dad.
Don't do it for me. Do it for you, D.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Emma, go fuck yourself.
So, there's some talk about, like, oh, we have to get the proto-gadgets back so we can save Saki. I like how Emu is oddly concerned about Saki more than normal, and yet not about everyone else who has died all show.
Yeah, that is a little bit strange. Maybe it's because he is afraid that Brave's going to go freak out about it, which, I mean, he was right to be worried about that.
And the other thing is, Emu is actually doubting whether reviving all of these people who game over it is the right thing to do. And I'm just like, are you fucking stupid? A, you're a doctor and it's your job to save people, in a manner of speaking. And B, what possible justification is there for not reviving people? They didn't die of natural causes. It's not like bringing them back because they were game over is going to make them fucking unnatural zombies. This is straight up reviving people who were killed by a video game monster.
Oh God,
what possible reason is there to not fully believe in that?
I'm sorry.
I don't know. This universe is sort of strange.
Now I'm just starting to think, like, a husband comes back to life and his wife's so happy. It's like, you're back with me. No. What's wrong? Till death do us part. I died and came back. We're done.
No, it's just
plot twist. She's already remarried.
It's just Cogsworth when, like, his wife starts, like, hugging him and finds him. Turn me back to a clock. Turn me back into a clock.
Wow.
That was, like, my least favorite part of the entire live action story. There was no reason for that to be.
Yeah.
Well, it was adorable though.
It's Cogsworth an
asshole. I just love how.
No,
this,
he isn't.
Kinda.
I just love how
no,
this week's.
Not.
A little.
This week's ride player victim of the week, like, just spills off the bed like fucking everyone else.
Yeah, just jumps off the bed. All right, let's do this. Pla, are you gonna do anything? He's so cool, so
yeah,
goddamn dumb.
Why are my hands are shaking? Why? Like, why am I trembling like this? But Emu has the fucking balls to, like, go to Masamune's office and just be like, hey, now!
Give them back!
You know what? You shouldn't have. I'm gonna do drunk Emma for a second.
You're very nice!
Listen here, you fucking president son of a bitch! Either you just go around and just delete people and keep everyone in their head, I'll fucking think so! And Masamune's just looking like, are you drunk? I mean, you're gonna think that, man!
We appreciate you playing our game, thank you.
Here's a cake. He made it. Happy birthday! Just don't question.
Just throws it in fucking Masamune's face. He's just like,
but no,
you want to die?
Literally, Emu's thought was to go up to Masamune's office and go, you're not a very nice man. Please stop.
Okay.
And expected him to actually listen.
No.
And even Asuna even dressed up in her, like, fancy business suit
for this.
Even though Masamune knows she's the goddamn bugster.
Can we please end Kamen Rider X-Aid with Emu having a cake? It actually says, thank you so much for playing the game.
Now go and rest.
Congratulations!
Now go and rest our heroes.
No. The show will end next time. Try harder difficulty.
Oh my god. And then the movie will have the actual game.
Yeah.
Fuck it. For the X-A finale, I'm bringing in a cake saying thank you so much for playing the game.
No,
sure.
last episode
can
is...
Can it be a Dairy Queen ice cream cake?
Yes.
Last episode is written by Fred Fox.
Oh.
Fred Fox?
At the end,
it's Fred Fox!
The Genmu sticker rubs off one of them and it's just LJN.
For quick context, there's an AVGN episode where he beats Castlevania and one of the writers for the game was Fred Fox.
Oh.
Like, spelled F-U-C-H-S, but...
I'm pretty sure it was Fuchs.
It was, yeah, but he...
No, it's
Fred Fox!
It's like the Three Musketeers, written by Alexander Dumbass.
And of course, we can't forget about Speed Weed and Dick Wolf.
But yeah, Hiro joins Masanune's side, and as he does his cape twirl, I play the Amazon Season 2 opening.
Yeah, and like when Lane and I were watching it, like, he's my right-hand man, and then we just see the shot of Brave, and Lane was like, do the cape flip.
Like, cape flip! Cape flip! Yes!
Yeah!
Superhero landing! So, like, Masamune or whatever goes to talk to Hiro, and he's like,
he's like,
I want you to be, like, my right-hand man and, like, keep an eye on the riders and, like, manage the game. And he's like, why the fuck would I do that? He's like, I got something you want!
And dangles the proto-drago hunter gash.
And he's just like, and then, like, it cuts away. But then later on,
in the next episode, we'll find out that, like, he brings back Saki.
Well, yeah, he literally, in the preview, we see, like, Hiro standing in front of Saki, and he's, like, in tears, because he's like, my God. But we get a really good scene of Dan talking to his dad, and, like, they actually have, like, a legit conversation where he's just like, why the fuck are you doing this? And he's
because
like...
Because dangerous zombie.
You're ruining my life, Dad! This is my stuff!
Oh.
Mine! He's like, sure, you made this, you developed all this stuff, but it doesn't make it... But it's my company, so it's mine now. So...
quote the Lego Ninjago movie trailer. You ruined my life. How can I ruin your life? I was barely even a part of it.
But
the trailer for that came out already.
Yeah,
Daddy wasn't there.
But it was a really good scene. I liked it that like we kind of got some closure between Dan and Masamune.
Oh no,
so.
that hole's still fucking open.
No, you know
that's a gaping wound.
You know what closure was the best to watch in this episode?
Common question
of
the day.
The closure of the gap between Dan Kuroto and Masamune's car.
Oh my god!
Just
Masamune's driving, like riding his car, or whatever, like that, and then just Dan just stops right in front of it, and
not even looking at
it. Yeah, and I'm just like, you ass motherfucker, I love you.
The funny thing about it is, even if it hit him, he's got 96 more lives.
Exactly. You know, it would have been funny if he just hit. Game over.
Can that please?
No.
I want them to do that scene again, but actually hit him.
No, he hits him. He's like. Oh, thank God. Just ends up right beside him. Hey,
yeah,
Dad.
Respawns in the limo.
Yeah, just...
Oh my God, that would be so good!
Hi.
Hey, Dad. But these two episodes of X8 have definitely redeemed the series for me.
Well,
just because of Masamune.
Yeah. Friggin', and also, so, like, they get to the bow, whatever, like that, and their plan is literally, okay, when he pauses, like, Dan can just data transfer into his Boggle Driver, and then, like,
hold
not be affected
back.
By the pause.
So he pops back out, and he literally just goes,
full Nelson! Yeah, full Nelson's him, and then, like, gets XA, like, presses the restart, and gets XA to do his finisher, but then, yeah,
Hiro
lo and behold, Hiro stops him. And
basically... Emu's plan was to reprogram it so that he could no longer pause.
Yeah.
Which I think would have been a bad idea because then they would have been fucked when Gemdeus showed up.
Really think of this. Kronos doesn't have a health meter. He is invincible.
Kronos was designed to be the super final form of a ride player who leveled
he's
up.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
He is the guy.
So
but even the guy had...
Because Dan...
He did have a counter.
Dan
yeah.
even said, Kronos was designed to be something that couldn't be beaten.
That is why I'm like, this character is so badass, and that's why I'm so proud to like have my own Buggle Driver's Y, my own Chronicle Gasha. Like,
yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're getting yours next week, so don't worry.
I just think it's really, really interesting that this was supposed to be a power-up for a player character in Kamen Rider Chronicle. Like it was some sort of ascension to a throne... But it's been taken over by the owner of the game.
Yeah. Also, it's God tier.
Yeah.
It is.
That just sort of occurred to me that it's
That's
God
why
tier.
I'm saying, like, the Buggle Driver's Y toy with the Chronicle Gasha is, like, I consider it to be, like, the holy grail of X-Aid.
Yep.
So, like...
Mage of Time!
So if you have a chance to get one, fucking do it.
I think it would be Mage of Time.
You will not regret your purchase.
If anybody has any better ideas for his homestuck title of Kamen Rider Kronos, a.k.a. Don Masamune, I guess. Sorry, everyone. I like Homestuck still.
Homestuck's cool.
Can we talk about space now?
Well,
space?
Next week, not only do we get to see more about why Brave betrayed, we get a giant silver Bugster Union of some sort, and Laser Level Zero.
Gary is back.
I feel like someone needs to just take Blade's opening, Blade Brave, and just put it to Brave footage.
I feel like someone has probably done that by this point.
Ichi, is it space time? Can it be space time?
Can you space time, please?
Lane.
Yoshalaki! Q-Ranger episode 15, Hammy focused episode, who cares? Moving on to the next one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Raptor in a bikini. Why?
They gave Hammy some development, and we got more into her character, and it was actually interesting.
She actually did ninja things.
They hammed her up.
No, nothing. You guys can talk about Hammy all you want.
But I don't want to.
Naga.
Oh my god.
Made the episode.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
He pulls that fucking monk outfit out of nowhere.
I know.
Why did that happen? Is he an empath now, or?
I don't know.
And he's like, thank you, Q-Rangers. Jackass,
you're one of us.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Q-Rangers. Get the fuck over here. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I thought I could get out of this.
I'm pretty confident calling Naga / Happy Sky Silver my favorite Q-Ranger at this point.
I want him to do more shit like that.
He will! And, like, as he develops more emotions, which I'm kind of sad they haven't, like, been, like, concentrating on that, but you know what? We'll get another Naga episode.
He'll get his turn.
He'll get another birthday episode.
But yeah, so...
Speaking of people getting their turn, Raptor finally gets her turn this episode to do a thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Imagines herself in a bikini, and it's weird. Like, super weird.
She really wants to swim, I guess.
Oh, no. If you know her VA...
She's going to the beach.
Okay, so...
Her VA.
I could be wrong on this, but I think Hami's outbreak when they first meet Gonessi, I think that was a SpongeBob reference. Because, like, the monster says his thing, and then Hami literally just goes, that's how you sound!
Oh, the SpongeBob meme?
I think that was the SpongeBob meme.
I think that's how you sing.
Oh my god, I don't think it really was, but what if it was?
Maybe we should make a SpongeBob video!
SpongeBob meme! Funny, because the actual context is like when someone says the certain word, it just SpongeBob starts clucking like a chicken. Like that's the joke.
When a new SpongeBob meme takes over.
SpongeBob's so easy to meme.
I know. But they point out
they go from Earth. They actually get out of Earth for a while.
And then when Gonessi references it, like, well, I thought you Q-Rangers were on Earth. And Lucky's like, yeah, we'll go anywhere that's terrorized by dark matter. You mean fucking everywhere? The universe has been conquered!
You have
to go everywhere!
It's like the first episode of Voltron Legendary Defender. You took out one of millions and millions of ships. Yeah, that was perfect. What? It's like, that was only one? Oh, we're gonna die.
Alright, there's a million Dalek ships and only three of us, and they won't expect it because it's a terrible idea. We shouldn't do that.
No, it's... Oh, they won't expect the doctor to do it. But you know what the most shocking thing is? What? There's three of us.
So can I just say that the village that these people live in is shitty because it's not a village. It's literally just
it's
just a little ritual site on a beach.
No, okay, let's talk about the governor
King
right
Caesar.
Now.
The Daikon.
Jesus Christ, this guy.
His name is Nessie, and he has
the fake
Nessie hat, floating
thing on his head, and I was like, oh my god.
It's funny, the Q-Rangers see it, like, see the Loch Ness Monster silhouette.
And they instantly know that it's him.
He looks
like,
so
you're
wrong.
Not from Earth, how do you know about the legend of Loch Ness Monster? Like,
exactly!
Fuck.
Wait, you guys never heard about, you know, Nessie, the intergalactic idol?
The space Nessie?
No.
Space Nessie.
Our intergalactic
Spacey.
Ally.
Specy?
Specium, right?
The Loch Space Monster.
The Loch Space.
Yeah, I don't know what is going on. It's
this featured an episode where very strange village people were totally ready to kill a child.
Very strange village people.
What the fuck is up this
young
village?
Man.
Yeah.
There's no need to feel down. I said young
yep, man.
Kill Martha. I can't think of a good rhyme.
Oh yeah, they went to this place to grab a Q-tama.
Yeah, and the girl's name was Martha, which was really weird.
Yeah, that was random.
Hell, man. Like, we have Emily in Amazons. Yeah, by the way, there was a character in Amazons named Emily, and she got eaten by her Amazon boyfriend. It was very disturbing.
I don't know. Some people would be into
that. I mean, there are people who are into that.
I mean, hell, one of them just went into an Amazon.
Oh, you need to listen to our last Amazons episode.
Why? What happened?
They're just so many
everything.
The jokes just kept coming and coming.
We tried. No. The episode was literally about a very serious plot-driven episode of Amazons, and then what are we doing? Just spouting jokes and puns the whole fucking time.
Isn't that what we always do?
It was so funny, I actually listened to it twice the next day.
I don't know, I re-listened to the clip of me throwing up from
that
episode 2 weeks ago because I couldn't believe
that
really happened.
I absolutely love that Naga was totally ready to offer himself as the substitute sacrifice.
Like, no, you are not a fit sacrifice.
So, Loch Nessie or whatever is being, like, pretending to be, like, a savior or whatever to, like, get food and just make these villagers work for him or something.
And the whole logic behind that is really fucked. So, like, he crashes down with the Moraimars and weakens the population of the fish and tells the people, bring me fish so I'll make it so you have more fish. But you have to fish from the waters that have no fish. Okay, level one, go. But
there's
like,
been a constant loop.
Like, why did he need them to give him fish if he was keeping all the fish from them? This is fucked!
Just to see how stupid these people are. Let's all be honest here. Those people would have probably died.
So...
Hammy's backstory is more or less when she was little, she, like, didn't say a word. But then one day she spoke up. That's it. That's all you need to know.
Pretty much. She was training to be in a ninja.
No! Kill it with fire!
No, what? Also, I noticed that the way to make these very clearly just normal Japanese people aliens was to put a sequin triangle on their
cheeks. Yeah, and little flowers on their cheeks.
What was it, flowers?
They looked like little flower
stickers. I
thought
it was like a triangle.
It was a triangle, but it was made of little flower stickers or some shit.
It was hilarious so that they, like, go to the beach or whatever. They finally get to the beach plant, and it's, like, nothing that they expected, and Raptor's just so upset.
I'm just
like, oh, man!
I'm just surprised that they didn't use the standard alien planet life form flower set that they used on, like, Garu's planet and in Helheim.
Yeah.
The curly flowers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that beach they were on definitely looked like the beach from episode one.
Definitely was.
But, yeah, so, like, Raptor goes to the, uses her wing flying ability to, like, go discover what the hell's going on, and then Spada goes underwater, which I thought that was really, really cool.
Fish guy goes underwater?
That's cool that he just has,
then
swimming ability.
And then promptly shoves his helmet nose up Go Nessie's ass.
Oh, that was funny. Doesn't he use the fish Kitama again, too? Or was
no.
it last, that was last week's okay.
That was last week.
Sorry.
With Garu and the sushi.
Yep.
Anyways, the villagers, like, this is like a pretty short episode. They beat the monster in which
and
the villagers
Chameleon
the
Green actually uses Kawarimi Jutsu like a substitution.
Yeah, well, I got Yoshilucky no Jutsu.
That's fucking dumb.
I loved that!
Yeah,
that was like my favorite thing in the whole
Hammy
episode.
Said, basically. That's not a real thing.
Yeah, like he has lucky shit happen to him, and he's just like, yeah, that was my Yoshilucky no Jutsu, and Harry's like, shut the fuck up! I was literally hearing Ichi when he just goes, shut the fuck up!
Yeah, I actually said that out loud, even though I was watching the episode alone.
I can't believe I'm saying this. Even Takaharu would turn around and be like, no.
I was just expecting Fuka to just come up and just, like, smack Lucky in the back of the head like, no! That's not a jutsu!
God help us if Lucky and Takaharu ever hang out.
Oh, no.
Oh. Thank God the next crossover movie is going to be Kyuranger Zuo-ger.
Or will it?
We're not getting our fucking, like, Sentai fucking whatever the fuck you want.
So whatever, Q-Reno does a sliding kick across the water, finishes off Go Nessie, and fuck it, blows up the Moraimars too while you're at it, because why not? We don't have time for this shit.
Two birds, one stone. Let's talk about the serious thing. Scorpio.
Scorpio!
I just love how at the end, like, Naga's like, thank you, Kyu Rangers.
You're saying...
Get over here.
So...
He loves German beer!
Shit gets real this episode. Though the episode title, like Emily said, is very blatant.
Yeah. Stinger reunites with his brother. Oh, okay, thanks!
Cool!
To Nicolas Cage.
He's on set. So we get confirmation that Scorpio's current form is in fact a power-up given to him by Dark Matter.
Done.
Yeah,
because
he was just like, oh, he didn't know who he was until he...
Well, in character they didn't.
Yeah, that's...
Well, like, we knew it was him, but...
Yeah, we knew, but I meant,
we didn't
like...
know if his monster form was something he already had or if it was something Dark Matter gave to him. But...
Yeah, it's...
Sorry, can I just say my opinion on Scorpio for a second?
No, we...
That's three.
Yeah, okay. Now
that's my opinion on Scorpio.
Now we've killed the joke.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm a joke killer. It's what I do.
Here's the thing, though. If
and you also howled Hitler while we're at it.
If that monster form was something given to him by Don Armage, why does he wear the mask?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, too. But
all
I could think was the Phantom of the Scorpio.
No.
You know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm thinking? Remember me, Stinger? When I
killed
your
brother?
I tossed.
Judge Doom and the Phantom of the Opera both come up in like the 2 minutes.
No, this is how it was. He transformed his monster form, he got his monster form, and then he's just like, oh, this is really good. Ah! Oh my god, nope. Mask. Oh, there we go. I don't want to see that ever again.
And that was pretty much our reaction when we saw his unmasked form.
I thought it was cool. I love, like, deformities and stuff like that.
Literally, he takes his mask off, turns around, and we were just, ah!
Whoa!
This is Japanese, brother.
Whoa!
Actually, yeah, there was Japanese.
Junichiro!
Junichiro! I kick your ass!
Robots! Anyways, I just love how Scorpio, like, he tries to justify himself to Stinger by feeding him the story about him being a spy, and I'm just like, is everyone from your planet a spy?
No!
The S stands for spy.
But then,
unfortunately, the answer is yes, because everyone else from that planet is dead.
But
everyone backstabbed each other.
So at first, I was upset about that, because I was like, oh, fuck, are you really kidding me? Come on. And then, like, when Stinger starts spouting shit about the Argo and what their plan is, and he's just
we
like,
all knew.
He's like, oh, and I'm like, oh,
no,
Scorpio, you bastard.
No, wait, Ichi, you know that joke about how, like, oh, if you had $1 million, what would you do? It'd be like, oh, I would hire one spy to follow one spy, and it's like they're just following each other all day. That's what happened to Scorpio and Stinger's planet.
Yeah.
Every spy just went after each other and killed everyone. One by one. They all died. Also, Takatora sings.
Oh, yeah.
No, he whistles. Stinger sings.
Yeah.
Actually, Scorpio, not Takatora.
Stinger, more like singer.
just Scorpio's like whistling. You see Ultraman or Kurt that guy walk up. He's like, hey, it's my thing.
Is it? I don't know.
Just pulls out his orb ring. Fuck off. Slips. Shit.
I just want like Scorpio and Jugless Juggler to fucking.
Jugless.
That's
I want thing. Jugless Juggler. As a scorpion.
Can we have like an Ultraman Sentai crossover?
I thought you were going to say, can we have an Ultraman soundtrack? And I was going to be like, those don't exist.
Yeah, they don't exist.
Wait, really?
No, they do exist.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
No,
I'm sorry.
But yeah.
It's almost
so Stinger, being the best spy in the show, Rafa knows, drops the whole plot of like, or drops the whole mission to Scorpio. And Scorpio's like, you know, for being my little brother, you're kind of fucking stupid. What? It's like, dude,
what?
I tricked you. And just to prove it,
here's my face that you didn't know.
Yeah, like, what does that have to do with anything?
Absolutely nothing. Just Lord Helmet shows up. What am I fighting for? But yeah, everybody gets back from the last episode. Show Lompo's like, all right, me, Balance, Garu, Lucky, let's go. We're going to go help Champ.
Yep.
Oh, well, okay, before all that, let's get into let's get into quickly that, like, Champ, whatever, he's like...
Oh, yeah, Champ is a Kamen Rider.
No,
Champ's backstory is legit Kamen Rider Ichigo's backstory.
Yeah.
A scientist who used to work for the evil organization betrays that organization, make something to fight the organization, and is a cyborg.
Builds a hero of justice.
Yeah,
keep,
pretty much.
In which, always keep your memory intact.
Yeah.
Shit, we fucked up.
And he gets an amazing Qtama this week.
Oh my god.
The Ox Driver Qtama.
Oh god, how did we
It literally just spawns like a fucking Kuroko that just whips him, and he gets a huge power boost, but then immediately
he goes like,
the real question is if it would do that to everyone or just to him.
I feel like it wouldn't work on everyone else.
I feel like balance just knew.
No,
just works on balance.
Which is really weird because there's no way for him to know because it was not in the...
Yeah, no, he might have researched all the Qtamas or something.
Balance,
maybe.
Balance uses it. What the fuck are you guys doing to me?
No, he'll just like moan because he seems like the kind of guy who'd be into getting whipped.
Yeah?
Oh, hurry, daddy. What?
Speaking of being into getting whipped...
Guard, that... Oh, man, your eyes are huge.
What?
His eyes are huge. They're just big.
Guard's just got a big head.
Speaking of being huge and being into getting whipped, Monaco activates her third stock female character form.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's just doing all the tropes.
Yeah, now she's like slutty McSlut slut.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about how she'd already been both of the other female archetypes that have existed in Toku, and now she's just being the third one, so we don't know what she's going to be after this, if at all. I don't know why. It sounds kind of dumb, and it's 12:50.
But yeah, do you know where your children are?
Non-existent. They're my balls. That's for my children.
No, no.
I mean, as much as we don't want to hear it, that's accurate.
Just Raven's packing.
Shit. I'm
sorry,
Ellie.
How the fuck does Scorpio whistle with his fucking jagged-ass monster teeth?
How does any monster that has, like, a mouth that goes, oh, like, how do they speak sentences?
I never noticed with Scorpio's, like, monster design, his mouth is just gaping open all the time. So it's just, oh.
Yeah, like, fucking, Galvanax and Ninja Steel.
They were lazy enough to give us the same Kyureno configuration from the previous episode because fuck it. The important characters are busy.
Oh, you can't have all 9 Q-Rangers down at the same time, huh? Oh, that's not possible.
When the fuck is Q energy limits going to matter? What was the point?
The same time that power levels started to become bullshit in Dragon Ball.
God damn it.
At some point, we're all just going to say, fuck power levels.
So Stinger goes full emo and goes, if I don't have my brother, I don't have anything. Just kill me.
I didn't mean it.
And then, you know, fucking Scorpio gets ready to do the Kiva kick.
Like, actually,
like,
for real.
Exact, like, fucking footing
like
position and everything.
He pivots his foot on it like he's doing the Kiva kick, and then, oh my god.
But you know what?
There's no way it wasn't inspired
by it. I'm going to look up the suit actor who plays Scorpio. Right.
Iowa?
Oh, I fucking wish.
And of course, Champ, being the ultimate bro, takes the hit.
Yeah,
and he gets torn apart.
It was sad because, like, you see Sholonpo, Balance, and Garu run from one side. The others run up the hill. Everyone saw Champ die. Champ was the first ranger to die.
I had such mixed feelings watching that happen. On one side of my brain, I'm just like, oh my god, they killed a Sentai! And then on the other side of my brain, I'm just like, they killed him! He's the robot! They can rebuild him!
And then he says, you know, like,
Rebellion may be able to repair him.
So, in which, if you ever watched the Buzz Lightyear cartoon and remember XR, I think that's what's going to happen to him. They're going to rebuild him, but his personality is not going to be the same.
Hey,
I can see them doing that. Ah, don't shove Scorpio's unmasked face in my face.
I was hoping a better reaction to that.
What is
I'm tired.
I showed him, like, a zoom in of Scorpio's real face.
Can I see it?
There you go. Scorpio's real face.
I was almost expecting it to be something worse, and then you just said that's what it was because you didn't want me to know, but that's really what it was.
Scorpio also happens to have attack that looks similar to multiple Raikou kicks.
Have you found the suit actor yet?
I'm trying. In the previous play, Takator. Okay, yeah, I know, like, the actual actor, but I want the suit actor.
Scorpio's relation to Stinger is similar to that of the Marvel villain of the same name, the original of whom was the younger brother of Marvel super spy Nick Fury turned supervillain.
Okay.
So there's a Marvel villain named Stinger?
Okay.
Or Scorpio, I mean?
There is no identification of
Anyways, so Stinger holds on to the Oshi Qtama, and I would love to see him use it. Just like a normal-sized version of Oshi Black. That'd be cool.
But yeah, it was just sad because, like, you know, Champ, we see Champ's body just falling apart on the ground.
We see it, like,
limbs strewn everywhere.
Yeah,
I saw it for the first time here, and I couldn't even speak. I was just completely... I know that sounds really dumb, but...
Oh, no, I was also heartbroken to see, like, Champ die.
It gave me real Chase flashbacks, Aichi.
Fuck you!
Stinger, where's Champ? Here.
There.
Your foot's kind of on his hand.
Like, actually too soon.
You're holding his horn right now.
That wasn't funny when it was on, and it's not funny now, but at the same time, I think we would be lacking in this podcast if someone didn't mention that.
You know what? You are absolutely right.
No. You know what would make it...
I'm sorry, that's dumb.
You know what would make it much darker? If they didn't try to repair him, and they just chuck his body into space.
No, and what's worse is, they
a Q-Ranger casket... Out the space, right into the sun.
Out of all the life forms I've met in my travels, his was the most
hardy.
Human.
They just jettison him, like, not in a casket. His parts just go in different directions.
And then he comes back as the main villain.
Oh,
then
God.
Just, like, all patched up and
reprogrammed Ocean
Black. Yeah, it's like, Champ, you betrayed me!
But yeah, it was really,
he's
like
a space pirate.
It really hit me when, like, you see, like, Stinger just over Champ's body, and then he just yells, like, Scorpio!
Scorpio!
But what's really heartbreaking is that we find out, like, oh, yeah, he can be repaired, but...
Not here.
Yeah, not here, and also, his memory might not be the same as it is when he gets repaired, so he might not be the same Champ we know.
So Kotaro went to Rebellion HQ, Champ's going to Rebellion HQ. Are we just thinning out the Q-Rangers one by one?
I hope that's what
is Stinger. Like, Stinger's going with him to take the body.
I hope when we go to Rebellion HQ, we just see, like...
Kotaro there?
No, it's the Station Master.
Oh.
Dano just... Or it's just the President of the Rainbow Line from Tokyo.
No.
Or both of them.
How did we get there? I'll take the Galaxy Line. The what?
Oh, God.
They take the Galaxy Line.
And what's funny is her puppet's also voiced by Luca, so...
Yeah. That couldn't work. So...
Fuck.
You know what's really heartbreaking?
Hmm?
The fact that we go from this really sad scene to happy dance ending theme!
Oh,
yeah,
you mean like the series episode of Decaranger where it's like so sad and stuff? Cues the Decaranger ending. It's like,
always happens though. Like, it happened with Sora and Owoto as well, to the point that it became a meme where it's like the horrors of war and danger. I draw you, John.
At least in Drive.
At
least, yeah. Spoilers if you haven't seen Drive. There's an episode where Tamari dies, and at least they have the sense to end the episode without a happy song like "Next Time on Kamen Rider Drive." They actually like get somber with it.
Yeah, it's like "Next Time on Kamen Rider Drive."
And I'm like, thank you.
It's like, we know he's coming back. He's the main lead.
We're only on episode 32.
Drive's fantastic. Go watch it.
Singer's about to leave to go find his brother again. But Sho's like, no, take him to HQ. Why? Because this is what happens when you're not thinking straight.
Cool. He basically says, cool your head because you were thinking irrationally. That's why this happened.
Yeah, and even Garu like goes on Stinger. He's just like, Champ will be fine. Don't worry. But yeah, it's really surprising thinking that like, when Champ comes back, he might not be the same. So he might be emotionless or something.
What
or
if
just
he doesn't
be
come back?
And he'll come back as just a robot.
Well, I made a joke saying that he'll like come back as like a female.
Me
and Emily made the joke that like he would end up like Wally. He would just be emotionless until something triggers in his mind.
Oh, God.
About his personality.
Oh, that was sad. So, next week, they fight an invisible enemy, and we get the sun and moon power-ups for Shishi Red. Joy.
Carl's Jr. and Mac tonight.
And Kamen Rider Baron.
What?
That's what the moon one looks like. It looks like
Baron.
Well, it kind of does look like Baron, actually.
But Baron does it better.
Baron actually has, like, banana horns, and then this guy has, like, not great. No,
also, it's a Garu and Balance focus episode.
So, regarding the Yoshiluki counter, by my count, there were 5 in 197, including Hammy, and only 1 in episode 16, which brings our count up to 197.
Woo!
A Let's see if we can hit 200 next week.
We probably will.
In which, so, shall we wrap it up for tonight, guys?
Yep.
Thank you all to everyone for listening. This has been Cast Ranger episode 153, I believe.
Yep.
As always, the primary source of our hijinks is castranger.podbean.com. Please check out our Facebook group, facebook.com/rscastranger, where we post memes and funny images on the regular. Tweet at us at Ixie Studios, check out our publicly open Discord server, and please check out our Patreon, where we are posting new kinds of exclusive content all the time, including a failed intro to Amazon, Enter the Amazon, episode 18.
Well, guys, I think this was a very fun episode, but if you excuse me now, I gotta go play some Comrade Chronicle. Woo!
You're gonna die.
See you later, Scrubs!
I am a Scrub.
That's supposed to be my set.
We're not gonna see him again, are we?
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird. Thanks very much.